Chapter 30. "Let me see," Alexa said, dropping to her knees beside Brody. She turned Leanna on her side, revealing a gunshot entry wound in the small of her back, just missing her spinal cord. Reach watched for trouble, Rupak or animal, as Brody cradled Leanna's head, stroking her hair.
"Come on, Leanna," Brody urged.
"She's not dead," Alexa announced. "But she's going to be if we don't help her." She placed her hand on Leanna's side. Her palm emitted a white light as she ran it across Leanna's body.
"What's that?" Brody asked.
"Localized ultrasound and x-rays. She has internal injuries. I'm going to need some help."
"Like, call in air support?"
"From you, Brody. You should have a full automed suite."
"Oh, yeah, I totally have that."
Alexa kept working, arching her eyebrows as she spoke. "Brody, the way you said that, do you have a med suite?" Brody hesitated.
"Okay, I may have deleted that software package to make room for other things."
"Brody, that's a core system."
"Hey, I'm a soul snatcher, lady."
Reach bent down over them. "Enough with the bickering. Can we just focus on keeping her alive?" "My apologies, Reach," Alexa said. "Brody, you take watch. Reach, I need your help."
"I know some basic trauma, but I was never a corpsman."
"You'll know what to do. Not as much as Brody should have, but I made sure you developed sufficient knowledge during your cryo." Reach found that he did, and he immediately applied pressure to the entry wound. But he also observed that Leanna was in hypovolemic shock, a term Reach didn't even know that he knew. Her skin was pale and cold, and her breathing was so shallow as to be barely there. Her lips were blue, as were her fingernails. He stared at her and repeated a prayer over and over. "Please be all right." But looking at her, he could tell she was far from all right. Emotion churned Reach's stomach. "How's her pulse?" he asked Alexa. "She's lost too much blood," she answered. Reach felt his own blood run cold, and Alexa apparently picked up on his concern. "That doesn't mean we can't save her," she said. "Brody, get back here." The big android obeyed, bending down like a giant at the foot of the fallen Leanna. "I need to disassemble you, Brody," Alexa said.
Look, if this is about deleting the program, I mean, I have a local backup back home."
"It's not about that. I need to make room for Leanna. Med suite or no, that battle suit has life-saving capabilities that she needs right now."
"Oh, okay, sure."
Brody lifted his head from his body and handed it to Reach.
"Hold this." "No, turn it around the other way so I can watch what I'm doing, genius."
Reach turned the helmet so that its black visor faced the headless combat armor, and Brody proceeded to take himself apart, breaking open pieces of armor and setting aside racks of munitions, grenades, and compressed belts of ammunition.
"Not sure where all that'll go," he grumbled. "I kept extra inside since I'm more of a meatless experience.
"We can carry it back," Alexa said. "Reach, help me get Leanna into the armor." They began fitting the armor around her. It auto-latched, joining itself back together with clicks and hums, slowly covering Leanna's wounded frame. "She's way too small for this armor," Reach said. "She will fit perfectly," Alexa said. "Brody is 8 feet tall, but they knew the wearers of this armor would not be. By design, anyone wearing this armor will be comfortable inside." She motioned for the helmet. "Last step." Reach placed the helmet carefully over Leanna while Alexa held her head up. It locked and sealed with a hiss.
"This feels weird," Brody said. "We're not even married."
"Just hold still for a moment," said Alexa. "The armor should sink to her vitals. You'll know it when it happens." A sudden spring of machinery was followed by a decidedly organic slish.
"Oh," shouted Brody. "That was nasty."
"What?" asked Reach. "What happened?" Both androids ignored the question. "I want to check the readings," said Alexa. "Don't fight me, Brody."
"Sure, come on in," rumbled the big AI. "May as well. Everyone else has."
Alexa paused for a long moment, apparently mentally searching Brody's systems, then turned to Reach. "Okay, the suit has integrated itself with her. It's not pretty, but it will ensure that her heart keeps beating. Any internal bleeding will be removed, cleaned, and cycled back through her body, She's not feeling any pain. She's not even awake.
Reach didn't feel nearly so confident. This was a far cry from what he was accustomed to. But then Doc Roman had said this battle suit was a next-gen piece of hardware.
"That's incredible," he said. "Thank you. Both of you."
"Don't thank me yet," said Alexa. "I still need something from you. Hold out your arm."
Reach obeyed. Alexa withdrew a length of tubing from Brody's armor and pressed it against the inside crook of Reach's arm.
"What's the... Ow!"
Reach yelped as something bit into his arm. He could feel the familiar suck of his blood leaving his body, a feeling he'd had during countless physicals and well-being tests prior to selection for the Boon mission.
"She needs blood," Alexa explained. "Brody and I don't have any."
"A warning would have been nice."
He shook his head.
"So the suit and my blood will keep her alive. Will it also heal her?"
"No. We need advanced medical treatment. We have to return to Camp Ohio."
Dr. Roman waited anxiously at Camp Ohio, pacing just inside the perimeter among the dozers and other heavy machinery. Two concrete printers were now online, and a road leading through the center of camp was being paved with asphalt. But when Alexa and the others finally arrived, Leanna wasn't with them.
"Where is she?" he asked.
"Inside the suit," said Alexa.
"The suit? Brody? Then you made use of the battle triage systems. How did they work?"
"Superbly. She would not have survived without them."
Tears shone in Roman's eyes.
"That's good to hear. I wasn't able to personally test them, but I had hoped. I'm glad they were able to get it operational in the time after our departure. Perhaps they were of use on Earth as well."
"I'm sure they were, Doctor. Is the chamber ready?"
"Oh, yes, this way. Oh, and Jared, Captain Bosa wants you to report to him right away."
"Roger that, Doc. I want to make sure Leanna is okay before I report in."
"Of course."
They hurried to one of the larger sections of the Boon and moved down a corridor to a locked door. Dr. Roman held his face before a facial and ocular scanner.
"This is my lab," he said, turning around once the scanner lit green with a beep of affirmation. "Unfortunately, with all the time I've been spending at the Array and then at Camp Muir, it's hardly ready, but I was able to cajole my way into having a few things delivered here once I heard the situation. Pod 1, chief among them."
"Pod 1? Reach asked.
Roman smiled and stepped through the door. It led to a single large room partitioned by thick viewing windows into sections marked Lab 1, Lab 2, Lab 3, and Lab 4. Roman gestured for them all to follow him to Lab 4, which contained a cryopod.
"Do you recognize it, Jared?" he asked. "It's your pod."
Alexa activated the pod and swung the canopy up with practiced efficiency.
"The enhancements you underwent required that the cryopod be upgraded. Pod 1 is unique in that regard."
"Yes, and it's still not as upgraded as I'd like it to be," said Roman. "But it should be enough for our current needs."
He gestured with a finger to Brody.
"Take her out now, Brody, if you're able. She needs to be placed inside the pod."
With Alexa's assistance, Brody managed to remove Leanna and put himself back together again. Alexa held Leanna in her arms with ease.
"That feels better," Brody rumbled. "I'm gonna go reinstall my munitions. Lock and load."
As Brody headed out, Roman grabbed a pair of medical shears and cut away Leanna's clothing. Reach turned away to give her some privacy.
"Does her father know?" "I believe that was what Captain Bosa wanted to speak with you about," said the doctor. "I suspect he is also concerned about how this incident might impact the nascent alliance between our two peoples."
"She followed us of her own accord, Doctor," Alexa said, placing Leanna into the pod.
"I am sure she did, but Jared and the captain have to discuss the implications all the same."
Reach thought about what those implications might be. He had no idea how Crazewell would react, or the rest of the council, or the colony as a whole. Would they see Reach and the Rangers as bringers of trouble? They would at least trust Brody. The combat android would back up his and Alexa's version of events. But that might not be enough.
He heard the cryopod close behind him and turned back around. The canopy fogged over, then turned crystalline. Liana was iced.
"Vitals look good," Roman said, examining a readout on the side of the machine. "Now it's simply a matter of time."
"Do you think she'll be all right?" Reach asked.
"She'll survive?"
Roman smiled warmly.
"I believe so. Had you suffered the same injury, Jared, your body would have already begun to knit itself together. You have quite remarkable healing capabilities. Liana will be afforded the same inside the pod."
He looked down at the frosted view window.
"You've certainly had a whirlwind experience since meeting us, haven't you, dear?"
Reach was thinking much the same, and he couldn't help but feel like he'd somehow let Liana down, like he shouldn't have taken Brody's word for it when he didn't hear her check in as okay, like he should have somehow screened her body when they ran. He let out a deep breath.
"All you can control is what you do right now. You can't change anything that's already happened."
The choices he would make now, today, would impact what happened tomorrow. His implant buzzed.
"Go for Reach."
"Reach, this is Captain Bosa. I need to see you at the array immediately. It's a matter of grave concern, and I need your perspective."
"Roger, on my way,"